Tonight I want to talk about being homesick. My subject is homesick. Amen. Homesick. I want to go to the book of Ephesians. Would you like to stand for just a moment? Amen. Chapter 5 in Ephesians. Now, I probably read most of this chapter, maybe all of it, and then you can be seated. And that doesn't mean it's going to be a long sermon. It just means that everything I want to say is in this chapter, so if I read it all, I won't have to say that much. And sometimes the only Bible reading that some people get is when they hear somebody read the Bible, like in a church setting. And I may read some things that you didn't even know was in the Bible if you're one of those individuals, like many of us are. Chapter 5 in the book of 2 Corinthians. Well, I said Ephesians, but I meant 2 Corinthians. You're supposed to know that. All right. 2 Corinthians. I was still thinking about a phone call I had yesterday when a fellow was reading to me out of the book of Ephesians. Amen. Chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That's after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want to read that verse again, and I'd like you to read it aloud with me. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And again, my subject is homesick. You may be seated. I'm not talking about homesick as in homesick to go somewhere. I'm talking about homesick. As the writer said, to be at home in the body is to be absent from the Lord. And there are a lot of people who are home sick because everything that seems to be home has to do with aches and pains and worry and grief and frustration and confusion. And it's what happens in our body. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
You ever been there? You ever seen people that pop pills all the time? Because they're trying to find some way to get past this sickness. They're sick of the way it is. You ever been in a room, for instance, in your house that hadn't been cleaned in a long time? You know, and it still has all the wrappers from all the food you've eaten in the past 6 months. Shoved under some of the carpet or next, you know, over in the corner. The little notes that you've written on pieces of scrap paper that you don't remember what that phone number is for anymore. And those little pages you tore out of those old magazines that came in the mail that you wasn't going to read anyhow. So you used them for notepads. They're all lying around in the floor. And the cat litter box is there. Needs to be changed. And you just woke up. And it's raining outside.
Oh, and it's wet.
And there's a flat on the car. And you're late for work.
Ooh.
And you don't feel good.
Uh-huh.
And the food from yesterday is still on the stove because you tried to drown out your sorrows last night. And forgot to turn off the burner and everything just messed up bad. I'm talking about homesick. And it's amazing to me that some people will call in work and say, I can't come because I'm not feeling well. And will choose to stay in that mess all day long. When they could at least get a little bit of relief and go to work and get away from that. Because after they have stayed home all day to get out of going to work, not saying that anybody here would ever do such a thing, but after they stayed home all day to get out of going to work, the evening comes and the body feels a little bit better. Why? Because it's rested all day long. Nothing's been done in the house. Nothing has changed. It's still the mess it was. But it's such a mess, you don't feel like cleaning it up. All you feel like doing is maybe go out and party a little bit. Because, listen to some music, kick up your heels, feel good. Anything to get out of this mess I'm in. And so then you get with friends and next thing you know, somebody comes up with a solution to all of our problems. Drink this. Take that, you know. And I'm talking generally around the world things that I know because I've been around the world. And people are generally the same everywhere.
Yeah.
They're all looking for relief from being homesick. If it's not one thing, it's another. An old song I used to hear when I was young. If it's not one thing, it's another. Only guy I heard singing it was said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Blues. Always singing the blues. Despair, agony on me. If life didn't have something better to offer than what most people settle for, it wouldn't really be worth living, would it? There has to be something more. There has to be something better than this being at home sick. Paul described it something like this for the Christian who has learned how to get past this home sickness. I'm talking about being at home in the body where all the problems are. Accepting that to be home. Just the way it is, so I have to live with it. In verse 7 in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, I know people that are troubled on every side, and they are in distress. I know people that are perplexed, and they are in despair. But he's talking about a lifestyle that's better than being at home in the body. When I say what Paul said concerning being at home in the body or absent from the body, it may be difficult for some to understand because the Word of God is written in a way that if you tap into the understanding that's available for everybody, you'll come to a knowledge that there is a consistency all the way from Genesis to Revelation that has to do with faith, the unseen versus the seen. The physical things that we're all aware of because we see it, we feel it, we hear it, we smell it, all the senses are involved, and we think that's what life is all about. But the Word of God has a higher order to offer us that goes beyond our senses, and it's something that what life really is all about. You see, people don't want to hear about the unseen, but if it were not for the unseen, you would not see the seen. Right now, while we're sitting here in our bodies, what you see is not everything that's there.
That's right.
There are little tiny things happening in your body right now that you don't see. And you can't even see them with a microscope, but they're there. Amen. They're there. There are germs, there are molecules, there are all kinds of things going on. And every physical thing, this desk, you can see it, but there's more here than what you see. Amen. There's a history behind this wood, and there's something here besides what you see with your eyes. This is not a sacred desk. It's a desk we use to bring the sacred Word of God. And there are some better desks in some churches, just as there are better pews in some church buildings and better everything in some churches. But what we see is not all of what it's all about. The earth is more than just dirt and grass and trees. There are things going on all around us all the time that cannot be observed by the human eye. Some people, so-called Christians even, sometimes get into this thing of, if you can't see what I see, I'll just poke your eyes out. In other words, I see something, you don't see it, like I said this morning. I see something that you don't see, ha 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 ha, like children. I know something that you don't know. That's not what God wants of His people. He wants us, if we see something, to make it known to others, you can see this too. It's available to you also. If we hear something and somebody else doesn't hear it, that doesn't mean that we need to go up to them and scream real loud in their ears and cause them to go deaf. Amen. There's something here that God would require for us who have learned some lessons about where home really can be, so that we can go to those who are at home and homesick, sick of the way things are, sick of the way it's always been, sick of what life has done and how it's dealt us nothing but misery. From some of the testimonies we've heard lately, I know that there are some people in this place right now who would like to get past all that and have a better life. I know that to be a fact. Amen. I know that's true. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Some people, when they're persecuted, they feel like nobody cares and they're completely forsaken. Because they're homesick in their bodies. Amen. Cast down, but not destroyed. You ever heard anybody say, I'm so down and out. I think I'm just going to give up. I've had it. I'm going to throw in the towel. Just not worth it. Amen. But there is an order of life that's better where you can be cast down. You can have these valley experiences. You can be down and not feel good about the way things are and yet not be destroyed. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You see, when we're talking about this something better, we're not talking about just some ordinary something better. We're not talking about a medication that makes you feel better. We're talking about God's answer to being homesick. God's antidote. God's solution, God's answer to bring us out from misery and sorrow into another type of living where we can still have misery and sorrow, but we can deal with it. We can cope with it. We can live with it. And we can use it as a testimony. Hey, I've been down, but praise God, Jesus brought me up. I've had problems, but thank God Almighty. He's the problem solver. I've been discouraged, but something happened today and I'm so encouraged in my heart. And I'm just looking forward to more things to come. Oh, it's been a bad day. I lost my job. The dog bit the neighbor and threw a rod in the car and getting a divorce and baby has the measles and chickens have mad cow disease. And it's just bad. You think that's strange? You ought to hear some of these arms around the world people in our pal talk room at night. They run out of things to talk about 3 o'clock in the morning. And they start talking about chicken milk. Yeah, chicken milk. And it's fun to listen to. Milk that comes from chicken. And you don't think so? They get talking about that and then the subject gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It's fun though. It's just fun to listen to. And I just sit there and I watch it go by and I laugh. And some of the people in our room tonight that are listening to the service, they know because they're the guilty ones that keep stirring this up. About the chicken milk and the dogs laying eggs and it's just stuff that doesn't happen, but it's just when you run out of things to talk about, you make things up. And then people come into the room, you know, never been in arms around the world before. And they hear in the background somebody like Sister Judy said, I thank the Lord for all He's done for me. I just love my church. And while they're listening to that, they're seeing on the text, chickens give good milk. You ought to try it sometime. But I'm going to tell you something. The fun we can have as Christians is fun that's beyond fun in the world as being an unchristian. Because when people run out of things to talk about and they're homesick, the conversations, you listen to the difference. The conversations, I don't care how crazy it may be, how off it may sound, Brother Bugle, when he was visiting with us, told us about somebody milking an elephant in Africa. I don't know if he was serious or not. But he said the way you milk an elephant is you have to catch her when she's lying down. And then you have to run as fast as you can before she gets up. don't know. I never, I don't know. But you know, the world will look at some of us and say, you people are nuts. You people are crazy. Especially if they catch you talking about something like this. But the very ones that say you're nuts and you're crazy, you ought to hear some of the stuff they talk about. And it all turns out that everybody has to deal with problems. We all have to deal with life issues. There are things that just happen. They just happen. Amen. Amen. We're troubled on every side, but not in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. So we're talking about even Christians can have problems. Our friend Brother Fleming needs prayer right now. He's going to have to leave. Amen. Our special prayer, my health is not good today. Blood pressure way up. Very ill. I'm going to log back off. Just came long enough to let you know. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Hot off the press. A Christian. A Holy Ghost filled person in another state who is tuning in right now, feeling bad, but knowing there are some people who can talk to somebody that can make a difference. I'm not going to call 911. I'm not going to call the local doctor that's next to him. He may do that, and it's okay. But what we're going to do is call on the great physician who is both here and there right now. Amen. Because Brother Fleming is not home sick, but he's at home in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Home in the presence of the Lord. At home where the victory is. At home where the clean house is. At home where the joy is. At home where the peace is. But still having to deal with the body that wants him to come back home. Let's all stand and pray for Brother Fleming. Because his testimony, next time he sends us a note, will say, thank you for your prayers. I'm all better now. Thanks to be to God for the victory. Jesus, I pray for my brother. Right now, his health, you know all about it. His spiritual health is good, his physical health is bad. I'm asking you, God, to take the spiritual part of him, the unseen part that you've given, and heal that which is difficult, which is hard to deal with. It brings pain, it brings sorrow, it brings suffering. Lord, you're able to do this. And while he's not at home in the body, but at home in your presence, I'm asking, Lord, that the hand of God would touch that part that's causing him to suffer and help him, Lord, in Jesus' name, to be able to praise you for the victory in this and give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Fleming, is he logged off or is he still there? Is he still in the room? All right. Can't tell. All right. Well, Brother Fleming, if you're able to hear me, give us a good report as soon as you can. And I want you to come and preach for us right away. You may be seated. Amen. So, death works in us. It's just a common thing with all of us. We have to deal with mortal flesh. Amen. But life also can work in us. That's what, let me just briefly just tell you what you can do to just fix everything. There's something called repentance, and that word means different things to different people, but it has a meaning that means something right with God. And whatever God sees it to mean is what we should accept. And it's all through the Word of God. There was a man called on by the name of Jonah once who was told to go to a city and tell that city to repent. Tell the people there to repent. You go tell them to repent. He didn't want to go. He knew they didn't want to repent. But we don't always know how to second guess God. If God says you go and tell them to repent, there must be a reason for it. Amen. Some of these people that call folks out of the audience and tell them, thus and so is wrong with you. You know, you've seen some of these televangelists and different people come by and says, oh, sister back there, or that person back there with the red dress on, I don't know your name, but you have a pain in your back. Of course, if it's God, I don't know why they wouldn't know the name. I'm not here to knock anybody. I'm just saying that, hey, there's something real. There's something real. Jonah was told to go and tell the people to repent. He didn't want to go, so he went to a different direction. Well, if God tells us to go somewhere, He wants to do something. If God is calling a lady in the back with the red dress on because she has a pain in her back to come forward for prayer, it means God is going to heal that individual. If God is calling for somebody in a wheelchair to jump out of that wheelchair, if it's God, the person will jump out of the wheelchair. Hallelujah. You don't have to put on any act with God. God is real. There's too many people lying about God. They're saying, oh, thus saith the Lord. God told me to tell you this. Hey, wait a minute. If you're going to say God said it, you need to make sure God said it. So Jonah was told to go tell these people, go tell them to repent. He didn't want to do it. So he got in trouble because God wants to accomplish His will. He got in trouble, although his trouble was a good kind of trouble. He was a man that had walked with God, had lived for God, had done things for God and with God. And his trouble was, he didn't want to do this. So God caused some problems to come about in his life so that he would yet do it anyhow. Because God knew that deep in the heart of this man, there was the will of God that would be performed. Because he knew some things about Jonah that probably Jonah didn't even know about himself. So he allowed him to go as far as he wanted to go, trying to travel against what God called him to do. And if you know the story, it's in the Bible. I won't go through it all, but he ended up in the belly of a whale. It's not just a children's Bible story. Amen. It's the Word of God, where God had prepared a fish. And there's all these arguments in the world. Oh, well, if it was a fish, was it a whale? Or how, you know, a whale, a person couldn't live in the belly of a fish. And I'm going to tell you, if God makes it happen, it can happen no matter what you think. The Word of God says God prepared this fish. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days, it might have been home for 3 days, but I guarantee you he was home sick. We talk about how the fish got sick and vomited up Jonah. I've got a feeling Jonah was more sick than the fish was. He wanted to get out of that place. How do you get out of here? You know, you're at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a fish. And yet you're alive. It's nothing but darkness, but you know you've been swallowed up. And you're still able to breathe. And see, just as God can keep the lions from eating the man in the lion's den, He can keep the digestive juices from destroying the man in the fish's belly. And for 3 days, this guy had some time to think. There was no bar room where he could go. There was no place where he could go where the lights are shining bright and find somebody to just make him feel better. It wasn't there. All he had was a mess to deal with. Down here in the bottom of nowhere, in darkness, wrapped with seaweed, breathing, knowing I'm alive, but how long will I be alive? Why am I here? Why am I going through all this? Simply because I was doing the work of God, going forward in the work of God, and God told me to do something for Him, and I decided I didn't want to. So why am I here? Well, it could be that if you're going through an experience like that tonight, maybe not a literal fish, but you're feeling like you've been swallowed up, and you know there's some things you need to be doing, but you're going the wrong way, maybe you should do what Jonah did. At one moment, we read about it in the Bible. Now, I don't know the details of how it made it into the Bible, but God has a way of preserving His Word. Because I don't think there was anybody down there taking notes in that place. Now, Jonah, what are you going to say next? You know, it's just Jonah. But God knew what was going on. God had an account of everything going on in that place. He knows what you're going through when you've been swallowed up and you're in darkness and you feel like everything's choking life out of you. Finally, that man said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I told God I would do. Now, it was impossible. When he said in the fish's belly, I will pay my vows. That's faith, brother and sister. I don't care what you think about it. That's faith. When you've been swallowed by a whale out in the middle of the ocean, out in the middle of nowhere, and you're on the bottom of the sea, wrapped in seaweed, and you say, I'm going to pay my vows to God. He knew something about God that a lot of us need to grab a hold of. It doesn't matter how deep it is, how dark it is, how bound you feel. Make that commitment to God and God will bring the commitment out of you. He will cause you to spring forth and be able to do what you cannot do. And even if it was something you didn't want to do, He will cause you to want to do it. It must have been quite an experience. This old fish got sick. You know. And so he came to the surface of the water looking for a place to get rid of whatever this was that was bothering him. And I could just see down inside of this fish's belly, somebody said, Hallelujah! And the fish, what's going on down there? You know. Glory to God! I'm going to do what God told me to do. Oh, I want to tell you, when you get down so low and you don't know what to do, you just start praising God and whatever swallowed you up is going to have to spit you out. Yeah. Hallelujah. That fish thought he wanted that food, but he didn't want it as much as he thought he did. He wanted to find a place to get rid of it. So what did he do? He went straight toward the place where God had told Jonah to go to. Vomited that man right out on the shore. How would you like to have a man come in here to preach us a revival with seaweed all over him? Nasty, fishy smell. I really don't think Jonah got vomited out of the whale and then dove back in and went swimming. I mean, would you? You've been in a fish's belly for 3 days. I don't care how nasty you are, that fish is still out there. That fish is still out there. I ain't going to jump in that water. And God said, you go that direction, and the fish is in that direction, and the sea is in that direction. And God says, go that direction. I got a feeling, here comes Jonah, out of the fish's belly, running. Running. What's that over there? Oh, that's a sign for sure. I'm going straight to the place where God told me to go. Yeah, I'm familiar with this. Running. Running, and he ran straight to Nineveh. And his message was, repent, repent, repent. Now, repentance means turn away from the way you've been doing. And turn to God with all your heart. And God had said, I will destroy this city if they don't. And I want you to be the spokesman to say to the people, repent, or God will destroy the city. Which means the people would be dead if they didn't repent. And those people heard the... It must have been quite a sight. This man with all this stuff from the experience he'd just gone through. He was not wearing a nice suit and a tie. And he hadn't had a fresh bath, I don't believe. But he had a message from God. Probably had bad breath. Had a message from God. And that message was repent. It's all through the Word of God, and the message is still for us today. God sent me to Norwich to tell the people here to repent. Now, repentance, the message of repentance is not a threat. It's not somebody pointing a finger saying, you better do this. It's not that. It's a gift from God, an opportunity to make the hurt go away. To make the sickness leave. To clean up a nice home for you to move into. Rather than have to clean up the mess you're in, just move. Just move. Let the landlord take care of it. Devil got you there, let him clean up his own mess. Move. Move to the clean house. And you can do that while you still stay right where you are. But you can leave the place where you're homesick, sick at home in your body, and find a place where there's confidence. And you wake up in the morning, you look around, and now I'm talking about something that's not physical. Paper still on the floor. And the old house that you live in. And the problems are still there. And the difficulties are still at hand. But my Lord, have mercy. What is this I'm going through? I'm feeling so good, so happy. Amen. And when I was at home in the body on a morning like this, I was feeling a hangover. Or still trying to figure out because I couldn't sleep all night. Tossed, turned all night thinking about the worries that I'm facing when the sun comes up. And now I'm waking up. Problems all around, but I'm not down over this too far because I'm coming out. I'm not in despair because I'm being brought up to a higher level. Hallelujah. I'm talking about leaving home sick and coming home well. Hallelujah. Praise God with me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So, the message of repentance, and I'm going to close in just a moment. The message of repentance is still a valid message today. Some people say you don't have to repent because that's work, and God says it's not works, and you don't have to do works in order to be saved. Well, they're confused. God requires repentance. And it's a gift that God has provided to help us to come out of that thing that has us trapped. What else can we have that God has given us? Well, it's called baptism. For some, baptism is a ritual. For some, baptism is something that people can just do as a sign that they're being made a part of some group or some church. But we need to find out what baptism means to God. And whatever it means to God is what we should believe. Amen. The people on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts said, "What shall we do?" Now these folks had been, many of them, honest in their hearts, but they were doing things they shouldn't do. For instance, killing Jesus. It's something you shouldn't do. They killed him, you know, tortured him, put him on a cross, killed him. And they were standing out there, and these folks acting like some of you inside that room saying, "Woo, glory, hallelujah," you know. And it was a Pentecostal church. It was the first Pentecostal church. It was a United Pentecostal church. It was the Apostolic church. It was the example church. It was the first church that we can pattern after. I don't care what kind of church you go to. This was the one that everybody says our church origin goes back to that. If it's a Christian church of any kind, they all say this. They say, "Well, we get our roots from the church on the day of Pentecost." Okay. Well, these people outside that room are saying, "What can we do? What shall we do? Get in on this." And the message was the same message that Peter and the apostles were instructed to teach just before Jesus went away, after he had been dead and rose again. And the message he told them to teach was, teach the people to repent and to be baptized. And so the very first message that was preached to the sinners on the street from the people who had just found God. No time to go to seminary, no time to go off to some college and learn a lot of theory about how to be a Christian, but just a fresh touch from God sent them out to the front of that place to a gang of people saying, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Acts 2 in the book of Acts, verse 37. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." You ever heard about cancer people when their cancer goes into remission? See, we had a man that was dying with cancer some time ago, and his his sister. Was she his sister? Sister Donegan, was that the man's sister? You may not remember this, years ago. Marion Donegan, I believe it was his sister. He was over here on North Main Street in a house, dying with cancer. And the doctors had told him, you know, you only have a few days to live. And I went over there to visit that home, and I found the man unconscious. And he was not, I mean, there seemed to be no life there. And Marion, his sister, was standing there crying and saying, he's gone. There's no hope. But he was still breathing a little. And I got down on my knees beside that man and started talking to him. And Marion kept saying, he can't hear you. He can't hear you. What's the use of talking to him? But it was more than talk. I had felt a prompting in the spirit, which I don't know how to explain, but it's from the unseen realm in the life that I'm learning more about how to live since God finally brought me away from the home that I was sick of. And I got down on my knees and started talking to that man. I said to him, I want you to get out of this bed and put your clothes on, dress up to the best of your ability, and come to the church tonight and testify and be prayed for. And I said, be prayed for and then testify that God has done something in your life. Marion, his sister, said, he can't hear you. See, we don't look at things that we can see with the physical eyes or our natural understanding always. When you get past this being sick of the way things are, and you start rejoicing the way things can be, you find a God who's able to defy all circumstances. It doesn't matter how big the wall is, He can take you through it. It doesn't matter how deep the valley, He can cause you to still be on the mountaintop. It doesn't matter how dark it is, you can still walk in the light. And God was able to take that man who was on his deathbed and use a few words for this little feeble preacher from Arkansas and do a miracle. And he did what I told him to do. And we were at church that night. Several of you were there. We were at church that night. And here comes a walking skeleton with baggy clothes, his suits. He had lost, he was down probably 85 pounds because he was dying with his cancer. But he had his suit on that did fit him a few months earlier. And he came walking in. And what had happened? He heard every word that was spoken. And he saw his only hope was to hear the word of God and do what the preacher said. And Marion was surprised. His sister was shocked. I mean, she should have been saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But all the time, I learned later, all the time they were walking across that parking lot to get into the church, she was telling him what to prepare for. Now, the ladies there, you may not see makeup, and you might see people, pale-faced people, you know. They all dress alike. They all look like a bunch of weirdos. It's kind of like a cult, you know. She was saying all that to her brother. Hey, look, I don't care what you think about it. You got to admit there's something good going on here. And I tell you what, I don't care what you think. Ain't no amount of makeup or jewelry gonna make any of you more pretty than you are. Take that any way you want to. But here he came. Here he came. Walked in, and he was prayed for. He was prayed for. You know what happened to his cancer? It went in remission. He lived a long time after that. But because of that woman, she kept saying, I don't think they ought to do like that. And I don't think that, you know, look, you need to watch your mouth. I don't care who you are. If all you can do is be at home and being critical and have bitter spirit and just talk bad all the time about how you don't like this and how you don't like that, you might hurt somebody. Because what God was doing with remission was putting things in reverse, stopping the progress of what was about to take the man away. He started gaining his weight back, started getting his strength back, and for a long time after that, for a few years after that, he was able to live a somewhat normal life. In fact, one of these banjos I have up here, lying over here somewhere, I got that from that man several months after that prayer. Amen. But later on, about 2 years later, he died with cancer. And his sister called me and she said, "Why would God let my brother die?" And it was so hard to hold back some words I wanted to say. Why did you have to say all the stuff you said, you know? But anyway, that's back there. What I'm saying tonight is, repentance will put your sin into remission. Repentance and baptism, in Jesus' name, is for the remission of sin. Now, sin is keeping you down and hurting and upset, and you have fun in it, but it's not lasting. And if this is bothering you, you can repent to God and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. And those sins will start going that way while you keep going this way. Your sins are left behind and you become... You leave home. You leave the misery of being at home where there's pain, grief, sorrow, despair, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of trying to drown it all out, thoughts of trying to get yourself medicated to where you don't have to deal with it. You can leave all that behind through repentance, baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of all that. Hallelujah. And then you go forward and God has promised, if you do that, I'll do something for you. I will give you a gift. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Nobody left out. Every one of you. The people that killed Jesus, you do it too. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Let us stand. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost, it's the gift of God. What it is, it's God's Spirit inside of us. It's not some deep, mysterious, way off, crazy thing going on here. It's just human beings having a supernatural experience. It's people who have had problems finding the one who can solve all the problems. Or at least give you the strength to be able to endure these things. Hallelujah. And the examples we have in the Bible, as silly as it may seem, when people received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues. And there are a lot of explanations about tongues. Some people will say, well, that means this, that means that. But once you've experienced it for yourself, it doesn't matter what they say. It turns out it's a gift from God. And it is a sign that God gives us to let us know, I'm here with you. And I have taken control, not only of your feet and your hands and your thoughts, but once you get rid of your tongue and let that be out of your control, I've got you. Because the tongue is the most unruly member of our body. You can make a ship go straight with just a small rudder. And you can drive a car and guide it with a steering wheel. But the tongue, it's hard to control. But once proper control is given of this tongue, then that is the part that God wants. And then the rest of us will go the right direction. It may seem silly, but it's God's plan. Jesus even stooped over and spit on the ground once because a man was blind. He spat on the ground. On the ground. Right in front of a bunch of religious people. On the ground. Now, I've done that before. But I never have reached down and picked up the spittle and the dirt. I never have done that. But Jesus did. He spat on the ground and then he reached down and picked up the spit. With the dirt. Mixed it together in his hand. Then he rubbed it in that blind man's eye socket. Oh, how silly can you be? If it ends up with a man seeing, it's not so silly after all. If it ends up with a blind man who's never seen before having eyes to see, it was the right thing to do. If speaking in tongues ends up with you able to get out of this old, crazy, sad house that you've been living in all these years and you're sick of it, then let God do it. Let God do it. Hallelujah. Repent and be baptized. Let Him give you the gift of the Holy Ghost and use the example of how it happened in the Bible. Let God do it. Let us all praise Him. Let us all praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let God do it. The Word says they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. There are a lot of people that teach this experience because it has become popular nowadays. When I was a child growing up, speaking in tongues was thought of as something you don't want to be near. But now it's become rather popular with all the television ministries and everything, the charismatic movement. People even teach each other how to speak in tongues. Well, look, if you get around any of that, that's not what we're talking about tonight. For every good thing you might find in life, you might find a counterfeit too. Same thing in the kingdom of God. Most people that you see speaking in tongues on the streets and telling each other how to speak in tongues, that's not what we're talking about tonight. I'm as much against that as anybody. If it's not God doing it, stay away from it. Hallelujah. But just because you see a counterfeit $100 bill once in a while doesn't mean you shouldn't accept one that's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was at McDonald's some time ago, and there was a guy standing in front of me going, "Woo, shabba, baba, baba, something like that. And he said, "Aren't you one of them too? Don't you believe in that?" And I said, "I got to go." I went out the door. No, I'm not one of those. What I got comes from God. It's real. I don't speak in tongues to show people what I've got. God speaks through me to show me that He's here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And He will do that for anybody. And once God has given you the Holy Ghost, accompanied with speaking in tongues, and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, nobody can take it away from you. Yeah, Brother Bradley. Woo! I've seen you do it before. I saw Sister Judy the first night she came into this church. She thought we were all crazy. I know she did. But she became crazy with us. Amen. She sure did. She became crazy with us. I saw her. I saw her when the Spirit of the Lord just came on her life and she submitted to God, and it was strange because she'd been raised Catholic and that's what she knew as church. But I saw that Catholic lady with her hands up, tears in her face, and that old mouth was just going, and she was saying words that she didn't manufacture. God was moving on her. She received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And we had people come amongst us and say, "Do it for me. Let me see you do that. Show it to me." It doesn't work like that. Amen. No more than anybody's going to get healed in front of you just so you can be satisfied with your curiosity. But God does heal. Let's all gather around the front a minute. Amen. You know what? This gathering around the front for a moment could change your life for eternity. Isn't it amazing? 3 or 4 steps in a small building like this can take you from the old house that you've been living in and give you a mansion. Hallelujah. All cleaned up for you. All cleaned up for you. Everything works right. Wow. How long has it been since you lived in a house where everything worked right? Everything works right.
Never.
Everything works right. Oh, just a few steps here and here we are. Okay, same old bodies where we've been at home with pain, misery, agony, hurt. Now God wants us to take these same bodies and present them before Him and say, "Lord, help me to move. I'm sick of the way it's been." And if you can accompany some words like that, however you say it in your way, "Lord, I'm sorry I've been a sinner." You don't have to name all the sins. Just be sorry. It covers all of them. No matter what is sin and what's not sin. If you're sorry. Now, I'm not up here to say, "Now repeat after me the sinner's prayer." Many of us have done that many times. But there is a sinner's prayer that can come from the heart to God. And I'm just suggesting you find your words to say to God. that you're sorry that it's taken you so long to come to this place where you can move from where you've been to where He has prepared for you. Amen. And if you can find it in your heart to do that tonight, if you haven't already, amen, you're going to wake up in the morning in a brand new home. The presence of God. Hallelujah. We have a swimming pool here in the church. It's a pieces of wood over there that Brother Bradley built for us. But we'll put that together when you get ready. Fill it up with water and put you in it. Let you just swim in the name of Jesus. We'll put you under the water in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let's call it the bathtub. You know, it's where you get all the junk washed away. Repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you have been baptized in water in the name of Jesus? You see, what that is, it's death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus. Repentance and baptism is dying away to the way it's been and being buried. That's the water. It's a typical example of being buried with Jesus Christ. And it says in the Word, we arise out of that to walk with Him in newness of life. We become new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. And so you go down in the water in Jesus' name after you've repented. And God gives you the Holy Ghost. For some, it comes even when they're in the water. For others, for some reason, they wait and it finally happens. And some are even yet waiting, having done that, but yet living in victory because the promise of God is in their lives. Amen. Tonight, as we just pray together in this closing time of the service, purpose in your heart that you want to live a good life and have God's help. I promise you, God won't let you down. Let us pray. Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, with a few feeble words and a few little efforts here and there, we've tried to get a point across that there's a better life. I'm asking God that you would not only hear the words that we're saying, but go on beyond us and look at your own word, God, and the promises you've given your people. I'm asking you, Lord, to help us to find the true repentance and the true baptism and the true Spirit of God that comes only from God and not from man. Help us, Lord, to receive that victory that's available for every one of us. Hallelujah. So that we can have an influence on others, so that others will have a better life too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.